love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline. With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Brian Herta and Dan Weldon are both here tonight from the Toyota Indy 400, which is going on this Sunday in Fontana at the California Speedway. In Fontana, I think I went 2 years ago, maybe.
Huh? How long, this is the third one?
Well, it's confusing, and I have to apologize, but I do this every time these guys come on. I get all screwed up with CART and Indy and IRL, and everyone's angry at everybody. And it's starting to turn into boxing, and with like WBO and WBC and IBF, it's confusing to the
the consumer.
Well, yes. No, not. I'll tell you, to the casual fan. I like motor racing, but I can't figure out. I figure out the Grand Prix cars, and then after that, they start looking like Indy cars, which is good, right? Or bad?
Yeah. Ours, all you have to remember is Indy. Indy 500, Indy cars.
Right. And does this... The Indy 500 is coming up, right?
Memorial Day.
Next May.
Oh, wait a minute.
Right around the corner.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. Somebody asked me to... Oh, you know what it is? I was asked by some Indy thing organization to do some cruise... Where they, you know, by the way, here's the thing.
Oh, you've arrived.
Here's the thing. Now, as a person, when they give you a free cruise and they want you to do this or that, you've arrived. As an entertainer, you're in the toilet. You know what I mean? Like, think about it a second. Yeah. As an entertainer, that's a bad sign. As a non-entertainer, it's a gift and it's a great thing. I mean, it's pack the bags. We don't have to talk. But as an entertainer, it's a bad thing. Like, they want me to hand out trophies on a boat. It's basically what happened. But I think
you're going right. Yeah, of course.
I have to. Yeah. But all right. Anyway, and we'll get into that later. That's right. Just had the Indy 500. All right. So I got confused. But let's push forward here. First off, Brian, do you know the size of the engine that's in your car?
3 liters.
3 liters?
3 liters.
And everybody runs the same motor, right?
Same
displacement.
Size. Yeah,
same size.
There you go, dumbing it down for you. And you know, displacement, that's correct.
Yes, and you get to, well, dumb it down for Drew.
Dumb down for me, please.
Okay. But do they, now what, see, because the rules change from racing league to racing league, does it need to be the same number of cylinders?
Yes. Yeah, it's pretty. The rules are pretty specific. I mean,
it's a 3 liter V8.
Yeah, like we run Honda engines. There's a couple manufacturers, but the rules are such that all the engines are very, very close. Not identical, but close.
What's the fastest track in the circuit?
Probably Indy.
Indy,
I would say, is the quickest one. Yeah, but California's pretty quick.
Maybe
too.
Here.
Big.
Maybe here.
Yeah. It's I've not been to Indy.
2 miles.
I've been to California. It's 2 miles.
It's what they call a super speedway. We do 3, Indy here and the one in Michigan. So those would be our 3 fastest tracks.
What size is the Indianapolis 500?
2.5 miles.
That's 2.5. So is that the biggest?
That's the biggest track.
So what are the speeds going to be like on Sunday?
I reckon probably we'll average around 217.
Oh, my gosh.
217.
Yeah, and that's where they've slowed us down a little bit to try and... Just to make it a little bit more safe as well. So that's at the reduced speed, but it's going to be a good exciting
race. How much
race.
Safer is it 250 versus 220? You know what I mean?
Well, 10% or whatever it works out to be.
Is it? I mean, if you decelerate, my point is, if you're decelerating from 240 to zero, 220 to zero.
Oh, well, yeah, but you're picturing, you know, running in to like an earth mover or something. This is rolling. Yeah. They're only going to roll 14 times as opposed to 17 times. Yeah. You see, Drew?
It takes us a mile to decelerate. So
got to look at it that way. Yeah.
Moving on. You know what I was thinking? Not even spoken.
Come on, Drew. Knock on something. What I was thinking about was, no, this is a fairly safe form of motor racing. I mean, I don't know what the Harrius is. This is one of the fastest ones. Ice motorcycle racing seems like a bad idea. You know what else seems like a horrible idea? The pylon airplane racers.
Yes.
We're going to go out in the desert. I got a 1944 vintage Mustang. I'll be flying about 20 feet off the ground.
On a pole.
And you'll be right behind me in your plane, which has the propeller, which might shave my rudder. And here's how much time I have to get out. Oh, I'm 20 feet above the ground, and I'm going 600 miles an hour. So you do the math on how much time I have to get out of the cockpit.
And that'll be it. There we go.
And that'll be it. Yeah. Yeah, that seems like a bad plan. But what you guys...
Boats are worse.
You know what the worst? Drag boat racing.
Drag boats.
Why is that worse?
Because they come off. They come off the water all the time.
Those things, they do nothing wrong. You're just going along, doing your thing. You do nothing wrong. The thing starts skipping, and boom, you're in the air.
Yeah.
At least ours, pretty much, you usually got to do something wrong to get in trouble, at least.
Yeah, at least you're being punished for whatever you did. Yeah, that's the liquid quarter mile, Drew. Some go, some blow. Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's a bad sign when you have a sport, which is drag racing, where you have a sport where they actually put a parachute on you and go, no, don't belt in because you'll be unconscious and this thing will be capsized.
And you're not flying. And one of the places the vehicle may end up is on the audience.
Right. There's a very good chance the boat is going to be up at the snack shack. You put the parachute on. Yeah, I'm not jumping out of a plane. No, you may come off of this thing at some point. That's a bad, it's a bad sign when you're not planning on actually leaving,
not an airplane,
higher than sea level, and you're putting a parachute on you. But, yeah. So, but this still takes huevos. Don't get me wrong. It takes major balls to get into one of these cars, especially 200-something miles an hour. You know, always talk about how things slow down at that speed, but I would assume they'd just be 10 times as fast.
Yeah, you're going to.
Yeah. But, you know, they interview guys like, things slow down. That never happens. That's just in the movies, right? Stuff's faster, right?
No, it does slow down. Yeah, until something goes wrong. Then it suddenly seems
really
fast.
Then you're back
really
in real time.
Yeah.
All right. And everything's been going good this year? No accidents? Everything's fine?
Yeah, knock on wood, everything's been going
good. Knock on laminate. All right, so this Sunday, the California Speedway, watch the Indy cars. Yes, sure.
Something went wrong.
Oh, I got a little brace. That could have been from masturbating.
I almost took this off in the car because I knew that comment was coming. But the truth be told, this is actually
it really was
Adam's
masturbating.
Fault. This is from last time I was on the show. Adam gave me his autographed copy of Kama Sutra for One. And I was trying one of the more advanced maneuvers, and it just...
Corporal tunnel.
Yeah, it didn't work out right, so...
So you're all right? You're going to be ready to race?
I have two broken bones in my wrist, but... I will be okay to race.
You'll be ready to race. You know, I was thinking about with their sport, one of the only sports, if you think about it, where they actually have to slow them down a little bit, where the technology has surpassed the safety, and they have to slow them down. And I was thinking, football is getting close to this point.
Yes.
Not really for the white guys, but the brothers, we got to put like a sandbag in their underpants or something. You know, I mean, injuries are getting bad. People are flying. Guys are running 4.240s now. I mean, do you see the acceleration like on the punts and the kickoffs, guys flying down the field?
But those guys are 230 pounds.
They're running 4.240s. Yes. Right. That's my point. We need to tweak them a little bit. You know, I don't know if it's a bong load. I don't know if it's a sandbag. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but just like they do for safety and so things can remain competitive, you just change the wing a little so there's not quite as much downforce. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Huh? Good. Sounds good. Yeah.
All right. Drew's with me.
We can play again.
All right. Yeah. If we could play again. Chris?
Hello?
You're 24?
A guy.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Well, first off, I want to say, you guys, I love the show. I've been listening to you guys for a long time, ever since the show first started.
Thanks.
And, I think, Drew, you're a genius. Adam, you're hilarious. I swear to God, every night I listen to this show and just crack my ass off every night.
Great.
Me and my buddies had a question. We're fighting back and forth to find out whether or not... is there really a place in a man's anus that it can make you come instantly?
No.
Hold on, this is for the drivers.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry, big part. Yes, of course.
They sometimes have questions.
Yes, of course.
No, that's from the movies. That's from the movies.
Yeah, most guys would...
All right, go ahead.
Most men would find that very unpleasant.
Such idiots.
Very unpleasant.
Yeah, they're
independent of what Cosmo is teaching women.
No, yeah. In the movie Road Trip, I think there was a scene where a guy was sort of milked against his will. Can you be milked, Drew?
I mean, there might be a guy that could have that happen, but that'd be a rare find.
If there was a situation where somebody was passed out and you needed their semen, all right, let me give you a scenario.
No.
Let me give you a scenario. Would you open your ears and close your mouth?
Let me take it in for a second. Take the cotton out of my ear and put it in my mouth.
Please. Here's a situation. We're all locked in a bank vault.
Yeah.
Okay?
There's four of us.
There's just four of us in a vault. Okay. And we're running out of air.
Yes.
And the thing's on a time release thing. It's not going to open until Monday morning at 9 a.m.
Okay.
It's Saturday, and we're almost out of oxygen, okay. Right? Okay. Brian has passed out.
He's already down.
He's down because, you know, he's not cut out of the same cloth we are, and he's succumbed to the lack of oxygen in there.
And we'll need to clone a new one when we get out.
No, that's stupid. We need a semen as lubricant for the bank, for the door mechanism.
Oh, God, of course, yes.
That's the only thing that's going to work.
Yes.
Because he actually has a higher level of graphite in his semen the racing.
We're not trying to get sperm, we're trying to get semen.
Well, we're trying to get something from him, and it's a non-sexual thing, Brian. Don't worry about it. You're passed out. Is there a way to do it?
I don't.
Would there be a way to milk it like a gland? You know what I mean. Like when they capture a snake, a rattlesnake, they want to get the venom.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
No, I know of no way to squeeze it out.
So we're gonna die.
You can do it the old fashioned way. Get it to produce.
No, I don't. I don't think we're at that point yet.
Plus, I heard you and Brian were tight.
Well, the security cameras and everything.
Yeah, it'd be embarrassing.
You know, the internet, yeah. The tapes get around.
It's screw up that cruise you're planning. And then there is the possibility of sort of getting a needle into the seminal vesicles.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
That'd be hard to do.
Hold him down. I don't want him to move.
Yeah, hang on a minute.
All right, we're going to get you out of here, buddy. Okay. All right. So I could see that. Okay, we could do it that way.
If we got to survive, we got to survive.
We got to survive, man. Do what we can. Yeah. Shane?
Yes, sir.
You're 27?
That's correct.
What's up?
Just have a quick question for you, man. My girlfriend and I have been together for quite some time, and she has a severe oral fixation, which I have no complaints of. She does like to swallow, and on occasion she says that it tastes different, and sometimes she doesn't like the taste of it. I've heard from different people that sometimes you can eat fruit like X amount of hours before you have sex, something like that, and it changes the actual flavor of overall.
Have you tried that yet?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Have you tried that yet?
Yes, I have. She says it makes a difference, but I don't know if it is actually a mental thing or if it's just the fact that she knows I've eaten fruit.
Well, look, Shane, I got to tell you, we're fighting for our lives here. We don't care about flavor. We're worried about viscosity. And we want to be able to open that lock. Is that what he's talking about?
Yes, graphite content. I heard it.
Who cares what it tastes like, Shane? We're dying here.
But I think it's more an issue, Shane, of not eating something that gives it an unpleasant taste. You can't make your poo better. But
no.
You know what I mean?
But you could make... No.
But sometimes
that's the whole thing. That's a good point. This is my argument with this stuff. What are you going to do? So you eat a banana split... And just a tub of Cool Whip. You think your poo comes out? Oh, eat it again. Fantastic. Recycle.
Swirl.
Yeah.
It's all swirl.
Yeah, it goes down a notch. It was a banana split, and now
it's just sort of like
a brownie.
It's not Mexican food. You know what I'm saying? It's not got
Mexican's
the potential.
Not going to help. Mexican never helps.
It could make it worse, but it ain't going to make it better.
Right,
and
okay.
So he basically shouldn't eat asparagus.
Right.
And smoked cigarettes before he's
right.
Ready
all
for
right.
action.
All right, so and what about that? Because it's not going to... You can affect your urine. You can affect your semen. I said with pineapple. Oh, who cares?
Yeah.
Look, who cares, everybody? Do what you got to do. Leave us alone. We're fighting for our lives. Let's talk to a chick. We can't talk to guys.
I know. I was trying. I got busted out of both of them. Chris and Shane. I thought it was girls.
Oh, okay. Rebecca?
Yeah.
Shane's kind of that's a dude name.
Yeah, but I just gave it a chance.
That's a dude name.
I know.
Rebecca?
Yeah, hi.
Oh, that would be funny if she was like, hello.
Hello.
You're 23. What's going on?
I have a 6-month-old son, and ever since I had him, it's really hard for me to want to have sex with my husband now.
Mm-hmm.
Is your nose packed with cotton right now? It sounds awful.
I have a cold.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. So you don't want to have sex with your husband since you've had your newborn.
Right.
Are you breastfeeding?
And I don't know if that's, no, not anymore. I did for 3 months.
Okay, that's completely normal to have a significant drop in your sex drive after you deliver.
No.
Drew, when are you not a newborn anymore? You become a toddler? What are you?
You become a newborn, then you're an infant.
Oh, then you're an infant.
Yeah, newborn is like weeks.
Newborn is right. Weeks. Yeah. Infant
so
is till like
infant.
6 months?
8 to 12. You're sort of, you're still.
Anything under a year?
I think you're still talking about it. They're infant until they start walking, really.
All right.
Right?
Just trying
anybody?
To get some clarification.
Back me up on this? Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Is it confident?
It basically, most often it is. There's some dramatic biological changes with pregnancy. And it's Mother Nature's way of making sure you don't get pregnant again because your sort of biological and metabolic and psychological needs have to be poured into this child for a few years. And so nature set it up this way. So when you breastfeed, you don't ovulate. It cuts your sex drive down. And just the pregnancy itself makes you have a period of low sex drive. Sometimes you can regain it by going on the birth control pill if the pill in the past has helped you with sexual desire.
Yeah.
The other thing is the stress of having a baby. Sometimes people get depressed in that first year, so you got to watch out for that. But having a low libido is very, very common that first year.
Now, what are you good for? Like a month?
Probably like 4 times a month, I would say.
All right.
That's pretty good.
That's not bad for where you're at.
Good.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
well,
you're all right.
See, but before, it was way more than that.
I understand, but you're still near the national average. I had a very uncomfortable conversation with my wife because she's my sort of.
I got to tell you that most conversations with your wife
for you,
uncomfortable. Yes,
for me, I had
she's
really
very open sexually.
Well, no, it wasn't that. It was I use her to I sort of question her about stuff, and I go, and I got to sort of bug up my ass, and I go, help me understand. Why can't women appreciate that men have a biological burden with this, and it accumulates? And something must be done about it.
You're talking about the sexual.
Yeah,
yes.
And you don't have to do anything but kind of hold still and appreciate that guys have this. You don't have to. And then she's like, well, thinking about sex makes it not sexual. Don't think sexual. Don't worry about it. Just have an appreciation that this is how. Oh, that's gross. Well, yeah, okay. But just this is how men are.
Yes.
And why can't women accept? That's my point. Why is it girl? Why can't you just accept that?
Keep digging.
You know, yeah. Looking for it. Yeah, it's so. Why can't they just go? I understand it's hard for them to feel sexual without sort of an intimacy and this and that. And thinking about pure biology gets weird for them. But just have an appreciation that accept that men are that way.
I know.
They won't accept
You know, what we really have to do with women is you know, they go to the spa. They understand that concept of just wanting a rub down or neck rub or to be pampered. It's just a physical thing. The person, you know, you'll say to them, like, wait a minute, you're nude in front of some dude who shaves his chest? Oh, it's nothing. It's just, you know, I want to get my back rubbed out or whatever. Can't you just sort of translate that or transfer that thought into us sexually? Like, we just need something we got to do here. It's nothing personal.
Listen,
nothing personal.
You could even transfer it into other excretory functions.
Like what? Number two? Really?
I mean...
You want to do it on your wife?
No. I'm just saying
no,
that...
Drew.
I
think we heard what you had to say. We got to break early. Yeah. We're going to break early. Wow.
I told you it was uncomfortable.
It was an uncomfortable conversation, yeah. I didn't know it was going to get any worse. No, Drew, what do you mean?
The point
the
is
number two
that,
talk?
That women have no other than eating and other excretory functions. They don't have any appreciation of anything building up and needing to be come out.
Oh, wouldn't it be great?
What?
I mean, wouldn't it be great if women got sort of pent up and had a, you know what I mean?
It's time.
Yeah, it's time. Like all you'd have to do is basically stand out front of the women's porno theater, and when they exited, be like, come on, lady, who's next? Who's taking the number? You could find them, you know.
At the right time.
Built up.
Yeah, built
up. Pent up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So
yes,
guys are walking around like, you know, loaded weapons. Oh, every 19-year-old guy in America is this way. Could have got some 10 minutes ago. Now he's recocked and ready to go. new bullet in the chamber. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Women
yes.
never have that,
no.
So it's all it's like.
Well, they do occasionally at some time.
Trying to sell them sex is like trying to buy a car off one of your buddies who doesn't need the money.
Right.
So you're just trying to convince him. Oh man, that DB5 is just gathering dust in you. Yeah. He doesn't need the money, though. So it's like, it's sort of like, well, if you present a good enough offer, I mean, of course I'll think about it. But there's no rush. There's no imperative here. There's no, I don't need it. No, what you need is you want to be dealing with someone who's got their eye on another car and needs that money.
Again, I want to get God's great jokes on humans is women do actually have a period when they predictably can experience this. And it's about month 8, 9 of pregnancy.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Ha ha, buddy. Enjoy.
It does us no good.
Yeah.
No good. Or we get the chick we got, obviously, because she's knocked up, and then we don't need her in that stage, really. I'm not a God-fearing man, but I know what's right and I know what's wrong, and that's just wrong. No, you stick to oral at that point. Call me old-fashioned.
No. All right, I'm with you.
Yeah, you're with me, right? It's not right. Let's take one more quick call, Drew. We'll sell a call. We'll do that, and then we'll go into break. Who do you want to talk to, Kimberly?
That's the same question, isn't it?
Oh, it is. All right.
No, this is good. No, this is good.
Tara?
This is good.
Oh, okay. Kimberly.
Yeah, hi.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
I have a question. My boyfriend, I think he might have low testosterone. He has a very low sex drive, but he's like 20 years old.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been with him?
About a year and a half now.
Mm-hmm.
We've been friends for like 6 years, though, so. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Who liked who first?
He liked me first, actually.
Mm. And how often you guys do it?
Well, in the beginning of the relationship, it was a lot, but it's kind of steady down to like maybe once every 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And before it was every day kind of thing?
Yeah.
She's calling from Indianapolis, interestingly.
Mm. And he's...
I have nothing to do with her, I promise.
Do you go the Speedway?
No.
No. See, I would assume that everyone has to go. You're loaded in a bus, shackled.
No, I don't like the whole NASCAR thing. It scares me.
This ain't NASCAR. This is IndyCar.
Any kind of car thing.
Hold on a second.
We can convert you.
What do you guys think? I don't like NASCAR, I got to say. I mean, it's got an engine and they race, and that part of it's good. But other than that, I'd rather watch like snowmobile racing or something. You guys, am I offending you? Are you with me?
I think it sucks. I'm with you.
Ooh.
Yeah, good.
Wow.
Yes. Well, okay, here's what I want to say. Way too much NASCAR on, like, the Speed Channel. Like, you know, they used to have the Goodwood Festival and the Exhibition of Speed and all this kind of cool, funky stuff and all this, you know, sports car racing from Germany and all this kind of road racing stuff and, you know, hill climb. You know the greatest? Oh, here's a good sport. Motorcycle hill climb.
Ugh.
Guys got, especially when you get into the unlimited category.
Oh, the Widowmaker.
Yeah.
That hill, the Widowmaker.
Yeah. Guys got a swing arm that's an 8-foot long span of like a high school basketball goalpost. And he's got like an outboard engine on it and like a chains on the rear tire. And it's crazy, crazy contraptions trying to get up these hills that Billy Goat couldn't make it up. But the point is
fringe motorsport.
Yeah, very fringe. But guys wearing Viking helmets, you know?
The thing about NASCAR is I think it evokes a very primitive response in males. Looking at it, I feel like I did when I held a little car. I went, you know, like a little toy car.
Yeah,
it evokes that feeling.
I don't like the cars. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I don't like the vehicles. It shouldn't be as big as it is. And it's one of these things that lets me know this country's mostly stupid. It really is, because I there's certain things in life where I go, what, NASCAR is like the number one thing on TV, and how many gallons of Mountain Dew and Sunny D did we sell? 40 billion gallons of Sunny Delight we sold last year? I got to move. People are stupid. Something's wrong with this country. You ever taken a swig of that stuff?
Yeah.
You spit it out and slap the person that handed it to you.
Same with like, what is it?
It's like it's fake
syrup.
It's fake orange juice. Yeah.
It's basically
what it is. I just there's certain things, and to me, it's the Mountain Dews and the Sunny D's and the NASCAR things that make me realize it's time for me to go to Canada.
And Dr. Phil.
It really is. Oh, and Dr. Phil.
Yes.
Oh, see, now Drew's on.
Medicine.
Now Drew's on board. Yes. Dr. Phil's number one weekdays, NASCAR. Number one on weekends, and everyone's got himself a big heaping tumbler of Sunny D.
Maybe we should get a show in like Slovenia or something.
Yeah,
it's got to be another country.
We gotta get. Is the Iron Curtain still up? We gotta get behind it. All right, let's take ourselves a little break. I don't know what's up with Kimberly and her man, but when you're 20 and you're not having much sex, it kind of means that things coasting a little bit. Yeah.
He's been after her for 6 years.
And he got what he wanted. Kimberly?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry I had to cut you off, but you're talking smack about motorsports.
Is he on medications?
No, he was on Zoloft for a while.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right, that's it.
He's been off of it for about a year now.
Oh, well.
Are you in love with him? Do you want to continue?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, we already bought a house together and stuff, so.
Okay. Indianapolis, like, $22,000. You get the governor's mansion. It's awesome. Here you can't get like 100-foot hose at the Home Depot for $22,000. I got to move, Drew. All right, listen, you're in love. Just keep going.
Enjoy.
Go out and enjoy the motorsports over there in Indianapolis. That's what you got.
It probably is something more biological for him than not. Maybe it's just his rhythm. He may be depressed again. Maybe he's not as into the relationship as you thought. But, it's not that big a deal.
All right. Brian Herta here, Dan Weldon here, both IndyCar drivers in the Indy Series. Going to be at the California Speedway this Sunday, 200-plus mile an hour. Take a quick break. Be right back. Hey, everybody. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Dan Weldon is here. Brian Herta is here. Both IndyCar drivers are going to be doing the Toyota Indy 400. I'm guessing that's 400 miles. What do you cover that in?
It's like an hour and 50 minutes, maybe 2 hours. It's one of the longer races, actually.
The 400.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's
around 2 hours.
Bigger super speedway out here at the California Speedway. Go for the Indy, but leave for the food. Horrible food over there.
Really?
Yeah, I got to be honest.
At the California Speedway?
I got to be honest with you. Yeah, they
Brian was just bragging about it. He said they've got it really, really juiced up this year.
Well, then maybe something changed.
You obviously haven't tried the Knockwurst.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, it's bad times over there.
I don't need that stuff.
Yeah, they got to. You know what they got to do? They got to do what Major League Baseball did, which is
open the Krispy Kremes in there,
put the Pizza Hut in there, and let people eat what they normally eat.
Yeah, which is weird. Why don't the franchises go? They go everywhere, but not certain places?
Yeah, I know. It's like, and by the way, the one, you know, you're out with the family, you spend a few $100, you're watching a thing where you want to eat prison food for 2 hours? Please. I had a keister, a hoagie, to get it in there last time I was there, because they check you.
Here we go again.
It was good. my point is you got to get one of those booths, one of those boxes up there where they got the kiwi cut up and the beer flowing.
Boxes.
That's
a good living. The shrimp cocktails.
Want to get up there? Yeah,
some nice. Maybe that's what he was bragging about.
Oh, man, that could have been it.
Yeah.
He's bragging about our team hospitality. We have some good food there. Actually.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, you got to break into that place because they serve Jim Beam and everything there. So.
You're on the Andretti Green Racing
Captain
team.
Captain Morgan.
What is the green? By the way, what's the green part of Green Racing?
Kim Green.
It's the name. Oh, okay.
It's a guy. Yeah.
No. Got mixed up with Cools, I think, or something like that. I don't know. There's another. But the team is green. What color's the car?
We all have different. Mine's sponsored by Klein Tools and Jim Beam, so it's red, white, and black.
Oh.
And mine's black, yellow, and red. It's XM. Are you guys on XM?
No. We should be on XM. Why aren't we on XM, Drew?
Should be on XM.
All right.
Brian can set us up with that, too.
I'll hook you up. Shrimp cocktails and XM radio.
Please. All right, let's take a question for the guests. Baxter?
Yeah, how's it going?
You're 15, what's up?
Well, first, Adam, I just wanted to say that you are my friggin' idol, man.
Thank you.
And I was wondering what kind of cars you drove.
Oh, I have quite a few. But,
You have an M3, right?
Yeah, I have two, actually.
You have two, E36 or E46?
One of each, right?
Well, I got an E46 and an E30.
Oh, not, oh,
but the like old 90. One.
Nice.
Yeah, the box flares. Yeah, and it's an 89.
Nice.
Yeah, all right. But enough about me. Listen, people start getting angry when you tell me I have nice cars because they drive crappy cars and they get angry at you. Go get your own self a goddamn nice car, everyone. Stop resenting me. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Yes, Drew? It's not like I started off with a collection of M3s. I started off with a beat-up Mazda pickup truck with the... I used to have to use vice grips as cranks to get the windows open. So kiss my ass, everyone. I get very defensive and then overcompensate the other direction. All right. You got a question for the guys?
Yeah, I wanted to know the difference between Indy and F1. Like, what's the difference between the cars?
Brian's a very good one to answer this because he's driven both.
You've driven F1, right?
Well, I didn't race, but I've tested an F1 car.
How about it? Which one?
A Minardi.
Minardi?
Yeah, Minardi. which is, yeah, sort of like...
Like a Mexican?
It's the slowest F1 car in the field, but it was still...
Oh, really?
It was still freaking incredible.
We don't know that, though. You didn't have to tell us that.
Okay, the Minardi is a beautiful car.
Well, I mean, everyone knows, you know, Schumacher and Ferrari does that pretty good. And, you know,
Minardi is also from Italy.
Oh, really?
There you go. Ferrari and Minardi are both based in Italy, so.
Okay.
And I'm curious, what made it so impressive?
What's the difference?
Well, the biggest thing is F1 car is a lot lighter. Mm-hmm. It's like 400 pounds lighter, and it has similar amount of horsepower. So
flying.
Basically, it just stops, turns, does everything a lot quicker, 400 pounds. Our cars only weigh 1,550, so their cars weigh almost nothing, and that increases the performance.
Yeah, it is the leading edge of motorsport is F1, and by quite a bit. I mean, the difference, I don't think the average layperson knows the difference between, like, you know, NASCAR and an F1 car is the difference between a Learjet and an old crop duster.
Yeah.
I mean, for the most part.
It's the type of tracks, too. Like, you couldn't run an F1 track on the oval here at California Speedway because they're so light, they're also not as strong.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You hit the wall at California Speedway in an F1 car, there'd be nothing left.
Right.
Of you or the car.
Right.
So our cars are heavier because they have to be stronger because they race on road courses where they might touch just over 200 miles an hour for a short part of one straightaway, where we're over 200 miles an hour for the entire 2 hours. So
yeah.
Sort of a different use.
The technology, though, is amazing. to run, like, Ferrari Formula One team, the engine program and the car program, to run those two cars for the full year is $400 million plus.
Oh, my God.
Like, to run an Indy car, for example, it's probably between $7 and $9 million.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference there.
Is it the what's in the car, or if the car vaporizes, they just have another
one? It's just rules. You know, they're just they're a lot more unlimited in what they can do, unrestricted in what they can do in Formula One. So, you know, basically it becomes the more money you can spend, the more advantages
you
can find.
But is each car a one-of-a-kind, priceless?
Yes.
Yes.
If you lose that car, it's not like they can replace it in a few days with another one.
They can build another one, but that, you know, costs a lot of money.
Is that the $400 million?
No, that's what I'm asking.
It's not just the car. No.
Now, the car is
the car's the cheapest part of it.
That's what I was asking.
The car's the cheapest part of it.
Yeah.
That's what I was asking.
That's and the guy's shoes. Yeah. I think are the cheapest part. And
the car's like this microphone out of the radio station.
Okay, got it.
Right. What's he talking about?
Oh, come on!
No, I know what you're saying. That's good. I like that
man.
One.
Oh, man. Adam, you've been all over the place. We're on the bus with you. You leave me hanging.
I know. I'm sorry, buddy. Come on, let's rally. Let's
break it down.
All right. Down now.
Yeah. I'm with you.
F1, you know, the other thing I didn't like when F1 moved the wing down underneath the nose. It looks funky now. Mm. To me, it's all aesthetics. I went to Pebble Beach and went to the Laguna Seca Raceway about a month or so ago for the vintage race, and I think Ferrari was the make. Mm. And they had all the F1 cars from the 70s and 80s and stuff you remember having slot cars of.
Yeah.
And Elf cars and Jackie Stewart's car and everything. And you just realize those ones from like the middle 70s, early 70s that had the rear tires that looked like barrels.
Yeah.
You know, just literally 2 foot of tire. You know, they had no rules back then, like no safety rules, no whatever. One car had two front wheels. Remember the six-wheel Elf car?
Yeah.
Come on, Drew.
Yeah, four front tires.
John Player Special. Everything was crazy and experimental because you just... here's the rules for F1. Spend as much money and do whatever you want so you can get around the track the fastest. Wow. It doesn't even matter. You could pull a van out there. It doesn't matter if you think you can get around the track faster.
And
now they have rules.
Why'd they back off in there? When did they back off in that?
Speed.
Just the speed. That's too dangerous.
Yeah. Wow. If it was unlimited, it just...
Yeah, it's
get
crazy.
Too dangerous.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk to line four. All right. Mike?
Yeah, hi.
17?
Yeah, what's up, Adam? You're great. Drew, you're great.
Thank you.
My question is for you, Adam. I want to know what you did in high school, you know, to get the females, man. What you did to get them to notice you.
Well, first I masturbated, then I cried.
And then you did comb over your hair.
Oh, yeah. That no, I, what did I didn't do, I didn't get any chicks in high school. I had, I had like one chick that liked me, Stacy Mallon, but her dad was Mr. Mallon, the plastic shops teacher from my junior high, who I hated. And I could never get over, I could never reconcile my hatred for Mr. Mallon, for my love of his daughter. Like, every time I saw her fat, stocky dad with the comb over and the thick fingers and the smelling like surfboard resin, and I was mad.
He's not the one that you burned his kitchen up.
No, no, that was Esty Chiladanko's dad, yeah. That was another thing. Yeah, a lot of unrequited love. Plus, you know, I had this indignity. This happens every once in a while, too. Nothing worse than starting out good. I'll put it in racing terms here. A couple of wins early in the season, and then can't find the podium after that. It's brutal. You know, had a chick that was sort of hot in junior high. No, that was high school.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that. That's good.
It was a one-time thing, though. But, yeah. All right, podium. All right. That's something. That's the podium. Yeah, but I was so behind on points by then. But here's the thing. I had a chick that was kind of hot in, like, the eighth grade. She's the one who called and said it was between me and my buddy Chris, and she picked me, and then mentioned, all my friends think I'm crazy. Which I thought, really?
But I'm staying with you.
You have to tack that on to the end of the... I was starting to get a boner, and now this? All my friends, all of them think you're crazy? Okay, but why do you have to put that on there? Maybe it's just nervous, but she... Okay, but here's the thing. Then we broke up, we got into high school, and she got smoking hot. Ooh. Once in a while, a chick at like 14, 15, a little awkward, whatever, they haven't figured out what to do with their hair. Chicks with curly hair, they don't know what to do with it at 13 or 14. Pow, 16, they got it figured out. The boobs come in. They want nothing to do with you. Boobs come a knocking. And they're in. So now she's hot. And I, you know, she used to be my, but no, she's not having nothing to do with me now.
Now the friends prevail.
Yeah, she's one whose kitchen I burnt down.
She is later on.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
So it's bad. So a couple of wins early in the season, and then just a long, long dry spell. And then now I'm trying to pick up a sponsor. I got no ride. I got no ride this year. Yeah, it was tough. It was lean. And I was like the captain of the football team, too, and still nothing.
How do you explain that?
I'll tell you how. I was extra goofy. And maybe that was enough.
Or maybe it was like the way the models always say, I could never get a date in high school.
No, here's the thing about
goofy.
Me.
Now you're starting to sound like one of those supermodels. I was a tomboy.
No, I was goofy. Chicks don't like goofy. Mm.
Desperate. Chicks, desperate, I think, would be a better word.
Desperate and meets goofy.
Yeah, okay.
Doofy. That was me. Desperate meets goofy. But here's the other thing, too.
Desperoofy.
If you think about it, that's enough. Mm. Not funny.
It's not.
Here's the thing. There were better times to be the captain of the football team. You know, like in the 50s, I believe that would just translate into poontang. You know what I mean?
It's a little bit uncool in the 70s.
Then, like, during Vietnam, I don't think that meant as much. Mm. You know, maybe it's cooler now than it was in 1982. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I believe I hit a bad time for, you know, captain of the football team.
You were participating with the man at that point.
Yeah. In my high school, you would have been better off just being punk than you would have being an all-league football player. You know what I'm saying?
Thus, you have your friend Donnie.
Ugh, killed us. Nothing worse than when guys, little guys, get laid a lot, you know? Makes you angry. little pint-sized guys getting laid all the time, and you're just sitting there.
You're just peeing on your friends and
all right,
fighting.
All right, come on, Drew. Let's go. Let's focus now. Let's break it down. We got a show to do. Let's go. IndyCar drivers here. All right, we're going to take a little break. Big race this Sunday at the California Speedway. 215 miles an hour, and then some. That is out in Fontana, which sounds further than it is. I've been out there quite a few times.
That's what scares me off. So
Fontana sounds hard. Drew, from where you are...
It's close, huh?
You live in Pasadena.
Yeah.
There's like 35 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, you make it in half an hour. And there's not much traffic out that way.
You know, I went
to
that
desert.
There's a concert at the DeVore.
Get out there. DeVore.
Yeah, near DeVore. We passed the Speedway. I was amazed.
Yeah, the Speedway, you can't miss. It's like 70 acres of orange. All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Buddy, love line, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Brian Herta here. Dan Weldon here tonight. Both IndyCar drivers. Both going to be at the California Speedway for the Toyota Indy 400, which is coming up this Sunday. Tickets still available. You just go to, we call 800. Is there nothing? Can't tickets. Yeah, okay. I was going to give you the phone number, and I realized you're not holding the pen. I'll give you the phone number in a second. Okay.
No.
800-944-7223. That's the number you call. I've been, I don't think I was there last year. I think I was there the year before. Very enjoyable. Much better than television. You don't get the speed. You don't get the speed vibe thing on TV. It's too sterilized.
It's totally different live.
Yeah, and
the sound. The sound is different.
Yeah, the sound is crazy. Mm-hmm. And the smell. Like when the guy he eats the chipped beef and breaks wind next year. You don't get that at home. Yeah. Unless you're with me.
You wouldn't want to miss that.
Yeah, you're not going to get that. No, I mean, this car's running off of... what are they running off of?
Methanol.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it's weird that we've been trying to get cars to run off of methanol out here, which is made from, like, corn, I think. And it's, like, essentially alcohol, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And does the methanol... stop me from wrong here, but does it burn clear? Is that one of the things? It's hard to tell when the guy's on fire.
You can't see the flame, but they could put something in it for that.
But is it take more energy to create the methanol? You know what I mean?
It's not working for some reason for the consumer.
I don't know.
But I don't. You know, there's nothing funnier, by the way.
I drove a car at Le Mans a couple of years ago. It was powered by bioethanol.
Really?
They said that the amount of emissions equaled the amount of carbon dioxide that would be absorbed by, like, the next crop of corn and stuff that they used to make it. So it was like a zero net output thing. And
wow.
Yeah, well.
How'd you do it? What kind of car was it, by the way?
It was just a sports car at the 24 Hours Le Mans.
I know, but what kind of car?
It was a Reynard with a Cosworth engine it was actually an IndyCar engine that was retuned to run on this bioethanol.
How'd you do? What, was the car fast? Did it run right?
No, I crashed it.
Oh, really?
Had I not crashed it, it would...
You know, it wasn't bad. It was
24-hour race.
Bioethanol is not as efficient a fuel, so you have to burn more of it. So you don't get as much miles per gallon as you do in gasoline.
Right.
So we would have to make a lot of extra pit stops, which would have penalized us a little bit. But, I mean, it was still out there. You know, it was far from the slowest car in the field.
Right. Well, I mean, he crashed 3 minutes into a 24-hour race, so it's hard to tell.
He didn't want to hassle with the stop.
You know, I used to like on the Le Mans is the running start, you know,
they were doing speed racer.
Guys running. It was awesome because, by the way, you'll put the seatbelt on lap 13 when you get settled. You know, it's number one.
Most of those guys didn't use seatbelts then.
Yeah, so why not? And then number two, it was always funny, guys pulling out onto the track. Cars were parked at like a 45-degree angle. Guys jumping into the cars, pulling out onto the track while other cars had a head of steam who were down 100 feet were coming out. The doors flopping open. Guys just wearing overalls anyway, so it's cool. But what the hell were they thinking? You got to run. I would have been like, hey, folks, Claude, Patrice, it's a 24-hour race. Do we really need to run to the goddamn car? See if it's like a 40-minute race, we'll run to the car. But 24 hours, just go ahead and start in the car like human beings. Running to the car, 45 minutes in.
Left over from bicycle racing or something.
Yeah, there's always the old footage, too, of the one guy sort of missed the gun. There's always the one guy standing there inexplicably for like the three count looking around before his team starts yelling at him. But, biggest race in the world, would you say? Is Indy bigger than
Indy's
Le Mans?
Bigger. Yeah, Indy's the biggest race in the world.
Is Indy is big in Europe too?
It's huge.
Yeah, it's I think everywhere. I've been in Europe, Italy, France, Germany, Spain. Everybody knows about the Indianapolis 500.
Really?
I underestimated it, though. The atmosphere, you were just talking about the atmosphere at Fontana. The atmosphere that the morning you walk like out through gasoline alley is unbelievable.
Didn't a European guy win Indy the year before last or something like that? Brazilian guy. All right. It's to me, it just goes in the brain as foreigner. That's all. So not one of us, in other words.
Right. But we got it back this year.
We got it back.
Buddy Rice won it this year.
Buddy Rice. That's a guy you went winning. All right, let's should we take one call?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Tara. Tara?
Hello.
21?
Yes.
You're breastfeeding your baby?
Yes.
You're on Soma?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's funny, Drew?
Oh.
You ever see a guy...
We'll be back, Tara, in a second.
Give me a second. guy catches on fire for one of those methanol fires.
Yeah, funny. It's very funny.
I'll tell you what's
nothing
funny. You can't see the flame.
Oh, so funny.
So the guy's gulfed in flames, but you don't see the flames. So it just looks like a madman. It's like a lunatic out on the infield. Guy running around. He's
breathing
rolling.
In 600 degree air. It's great. It's so funny. His lungs fry. It's hysterical.
Okay. All right. I see. Now you're making fun. But I'm telling you, if you could see the guy rolling around on the infield and like swatting himself like he was a Shiite Muslim and just scooching his ass like a dog on the carpet and stuff. It's crazy. And everyone's just, guy's gone mad.
What's the guy sitting there sort of burning up, but he's just sitting there. That's a scary look.
Oh, really? When do you see that?
Once in a while.
Oh, come on, Drew. This guy's got to go race Sunday. To bring that up. All right, someone show some couth. We got to take a little break. And you know what? That's it. That's the hour. The guys are gone.
Really?
They're only staying for the first hour. Yeah, let me just say this. You go to www.californiaspeedway.com and you get those tickets. You know what Fontana's logo should be? Fontana, we're not as far as you think. Fontana, not far. Change it to Funtana. Now you got people coming. This Sunday, everybody. Brian, Dan, God bless you for coming in again, by the way.
Pleasure to be here.
Best of luck to you on Sunday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah, everybody. Loveline. That's us. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Said goodbye to Brian Hurd and Dan Weldon. Both good guys and good car drivers, IndyCar drivers, California Speedway. This Sunday. It is an event. It is worth going to. I like race car drivers, Drew. There's a certain sort of ease to them that rock stars don't seem to have. They're sort of caught somewhere in between, you know, being a celebrity, but when they get off the track, they're not celebrities anymore, right. So they're sort of humbled, so it sort of makes them regular,
and they're
for the most part.
Professionals, you know, they seem to have a professional demeanor about them.
Yes, there's a part of them, they're sort of part rock star, part airline pilot.
Right, part professional tennis player, part airline pilot.
Yeah, part athlete, part airline pilot, which is, you can't really, you kind of have to, you can't be too high on Quaaludes when it's time to do your job. Yeah.
Although, how do you do it without that? I don't know.
But you'll die if you screw around too much. And that's what I like about them.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a part of them, I think, that their life is led at 200-plus miles an hour. And so, in real life, they're calm.
Yes.
For them, I think they're not moving.
Right.
You know, you know, you're used to going that fast, and then you're just driving 30 miles an hour down a side street. Doesn't feel like going anywhere. Yes?
I'm always interested in what kind of cars those guys drive. I forgot to ask.
It's always disappointing.
Yeah, but it's always nothing, because they're like, hey, I drive these crazy things all day. Why do I want to drive anything crazy on the street?
Yeah. Well, though, I remember talking to Brian in the past, and I think he's an enthusiast.
Is he?
Yeah. But it's always a letdown.
Yeah.
But what's it going to be? Like, you think they're going to be driving the Chi-Town Hustler.
Right.
Hemi Power Dragster. Some go, some blow. Sunday. English Leather Girl's going to be there. Papa Do Run Run in the infield. Fox Night. Banana, banana, banana. Fox is free, free, free. Banana, banana. They'll all be there. Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney. The Texan Billy McEwen. The Chi-Town Hustler. TV Tommy Ivo.
Don the Snake Perdomo.
I like the fake conversations they would have. This Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney says that trophy's here. Big Daddy's got other ideas. Really? Did you talk to Big Daddy? Maybe he's cool with Shirley.
And what ideas does he have? Is it?
I don't know. Qualifications 12 noon. Eliminations under the lights. They're yelling at you. You crap yourself listening to these old commercials. I like this one, too. It's like the, Orange County International Raceway, where the 101, the 110, and the 105 explode! Exploded? I'm scared and I'm frightened. I don't want to go. Fox is free! Love that Fox Night. Yeah.
That I don't remember.
You don't remember Fox Night? First, they would play the song Fox on the Run. Fox is free. English Leather Girls. Yeah.
That guy graduated to become a stripper announcer.
Yeah,
somebody became?
He ended up.
Same guy.
He ended up doing that. Yeah. Yeah, that was good times. the best is the good one was some go, some blow.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Lions drag strip in Long Beach.
I got to get a tape of that because they just have the sound of the guys doing the burnouts in the background. Yeah. There's always something, always somebody crazy too. Dan Thompson, human stick of dynamite. It was like guy blows himself up. Right. It was just crazy sideshow stuff.
Yeah.
Some school bus that wheelied with 13 special children in it.
We just.
Oh, yes. They would put the handicapped in there and wheelie the school bus.
You just
saw. They would wheelie everything, by the way. You kids don't know from wheelie.
Yeah, but the
trash trucks, everything was wheelie.
The celebrity wheelie vehicle of all time, of that period of history, was Hemi Underglass.
Yeah. It was It was a Hemi. It was.
It had two engines, didn't it? One in the front, one in the back?
It was a Barracuda. It was a Dodge Barracuda,
yeah.
And an old one, I think. And they took this like 400, 428, 427, 429 Hemi big block engine, and they put it in the back of the car.
Back seat, basically.
Yeah, even a little further back. So the car had so much weight in it that when the guy lit up the slicks, it would wheelie right down the right down the course. And the underside of the car was glass, so the guy could see. Because if you think about it, if you're just ceiling, you're just wheeling, you're just staring at the sky. Yeah.
Oof.
Hemi under glass. All right.
Sort of a silver and black, gold and black.
Gold.
Yeah.
Gold and black.
Hearst, Tara? Glass, right?
Yeah. Oh, then Miss Hearst was going to be out there. Big, hot, juggy blonde. It was a more innocent time, kids. Get out to the drag races.
Innocent.
I used to like, there's one, my favorite commercials where they would actually explain how the internal combustion process worked.
Yeah.
There was like nitromethane, throw it on the ground, drop a match on it, virtually nothing, but put it inside a 500 cubic inch Hemi convention block, liquid dynamite, Drew.
Sorry.
All right. Isn't that nitroglycerin?
Yeah.
Right, you ready to go?
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go.
Tara.
Okay. Tara.
So, Tara?
Yes, still here.
So, you were on Soma and you're breastfeeding, right?
Right.
How long have you been on the Soma for?
I just took one today.
What's the Soma for? Is that a muscle relaxant?
It's a muscle relaxant. It's converted by your liver to Miltown, a drug that used to be called Miltown. Soma's actually a very highly addictive compound and extremely difficult to detox people from.
What's it give you? Is that a big white pill? Kind of flat?
Big white pill,
yeah.
You like that?
No.
Okay.
It's all right.
Some people like it because it's sort of a buzz, and it's hard to stop. Mm. But you just used a single pill, right, Tara?
Correct.
Yeah, give it a good 12 hours.
12 hours?
Yeah, at least.
Okay, that's all I'm thinking.
Yeah. All right, baby doll.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Drew, how about some good blowhard advice? You know the best way to stop? Never start. I like that guy. Yeah. Thanks, Pops. I'm a junkie.
Yeah.
Never start.
Yeah, like just that. Say no.
Yeah. Best way not to get a venereal disease? Don't have sex. Okay.
Hold an aspirin in your legs.
Yeah. And
do it like we did in my day.
That's good, yeah. You really want to... Your best tip, of course, to avoid the hangover... The New Year's Eve hair?
Don't drink.
Moderation. Okay, thanks. Where's my steno pad? I got to write these pearls down. Don't do it. Don't do anything.
That cable has a lot of commercials on some kind of herbal product that's going to take care of hangovers. So you can enjoy yourself on and still go to work.
Before you had to say no at 11 beers on a weeknight.
You feel good the next day.
Polish the case off. Yeah, but Drew, a hangover... I mean, there's no free lunches in nature, right? Hangovers, you're supposed to pay a little.
It's just alcohol withdrawal. That's it.
Pay the fiddler, though.
Yeah.
Is it just withdrawal? You always say this. No, I'm always a little confused
by it. There's a toxic effect also. You can get a toxic, you get nausea and vomiting, things like that.
But is the main part you want more? Want some alcohol?
No.
What's the withdrawal?
The getting sick part. Withdrawal, you get sick, you feel like hell.
The following morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know, but don't you crave, I mean...
I guess an alcoholic would crave, but non-alcoholics just feel sick.
You hear that, Chris? Look out. Chris Smart, though, made his first class at noon, so he basically...
he can deal with it.
Drink a pony keg at 2 a.m. and be stone cold sober when it comes to his basic math class.
And then withdrawing right after that.
but so then wouldn't... If you're having withdrawal from whatever it is you're having withdrawal from, wouldn't a little bit of what you're having the withdrawal from cure you?
Not cure you.
But make you feel better?
That's why they say the hair of the dog. People do feel better after a little bit.
Yes, I do.
But it boosts up the withdrawal. It actually makes the withdrawal worse. So you feel better for a little while, and then it makes it worse on the other side.
Well, you have another drink.
There you go.
All right, next thing you know, drunk all the time. No, but isn't there a way to? I mean, look, let me be honest. Right. Let's pull the curtain back.
Adam's got a problem.
Layer chips on the table.
Yeah.
One does a night of drinking.
Yes, one.
And really ties one on,
yeah.
And then the following morning feels like a fried hell.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to go in, you're not going into work or anything. Let's say it's a Sunday. One has a Bloody Mary, one feels a little better. Mm-hmm. At least it's you're in a storm at this point. You're fighting for your life. I mean, you think you're going to vomit, the room is spinning, you feel like hell. You have that, and you prolong. I understand that sort of prolongs things. But if you just do enough and you do it at the right time, can't that act? Look at it this way.
You're tapering slowly as opposed to being cut off.
Here's what I'm saying. Here's the ground. Here's the drunken platform I'm on. I need to step somewhere in between so I don't sprain my ankle.
Yeah, here's the case you're making. Is that as opposed to have abruptly stopped drinking and sleep for 12 hours and wake up in withdrawal,
right.
You're going to start withdrawal and then abort it by taking some more alcohol.
Yes.
The problem is in some individuals, yes, you can. That is more of a slow taper and might some people ameliorate the withdrawal. In others, it can sensitize receptor sensitivity and boost it up to a really intense withdrawal.
Really?
It's variable. I wouldn't know how to...
More people do better with the... That's why the Bloody Mary was invented, by the way, Drew. Huh. Let's be honest. Joanne?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi. I'm 20.
Angry Joanne?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm bisexual, and I like having sex, and I'm having a hard time finding partners that can keep up with my interests.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. You want a female or a male?
I'm with a girl right now, and mm-hmm. I've been with guys before, and my partner seemed to get boring very quickly, and whenever I bring up, I'm sorry? You're
boring to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
And whenever I bring up something new, they're just, like, not into it.
Give us an example.
Like anal sex.
Uh-huh. With the fellas, right? I mean, we're not talking strap-on, are we?
Well, yeah, that or just, like, with fingers and...
Oh.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. So, here's the thing most of the time, I find. It's not that they're uptight. It's that you freak them out with your sort of aggressiveness. They think something may be wrong with you.
Yeah, it makes them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Is there something up? Some history? Something we should know about?
I've never had, like, anything weird, like, happen to me in my life. Mm-hmm. I've just, like, always been sexually aggressive or... Mm. I've been interested in sex and...
Where's your dad?
What is he?
Where is he?
Oh, he's in New York.
Oh, he's in New York?
Yeah, so you don't live with him?
No, I go to school out here.
When did... hold on a second. Where are you going to Northridge?
No, I go to...
Piers?
I go to Fashion Institute.
I see.
Oh, you have a Fashion Institute in Chatsworth?
No, it's in downtown L.A.
Oh, okay. You live in Chatsworth?
Yeah.
Okay, got to get out of there.
First order of business.
Hey, Chatsworth.
So you moved from New York. You lived with your father. You grew up with your father?
I grew up with my mom.
What happened with your dad?
He has another wife.
Yeah. Mm, abandoning.
Yeah.
Feel abandoned. Yeah.
I mean, he's been around, like, in my life. And
in and out. When did he cut out?
He's always been around. I just moved a year ago. And
when did he cut out?
Oh, before I was born.
Before you were born?
Before you were born.
Did you have other men in your life growing up?
No, your mom never remarried.
No.
No other, she didn't have any boyfriends or anything hanging around?
Like, when I got older, she started dating.
But not the whole time, just you and your mom, huh?
Yeah.
And were you exposed to any sexually explicit material or anything of that nature or at a young age?
Not really. I grew up in Catholic school and... I was very sheltered from a lot of things, and
So, when did you start becoming interested in women?
When I was like 13.
Mm-hmm.
Were you with a woman then?
No, I wanted to be, but first time was like in high school when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And no weird stuff with children doing stuff to you when you were growing up?
No.
Okay.
All right. All right. Yeah, and true bisexual.
Manic depression in your family or anywhere?
I don't. Not that I know of.
Okay.
Right, you got a motor on you.
Yeah.
Once in a while, it happens.
And are you having consequences from your sexuality? Are you doing things you don't want to be doing?
Pink eye?
I find myself going out a lot and trying to, like, find new people to have sex with.
Anybody?
Not just anybody. Like, I like attractive people, but, like, after we hook up, it's just really slow, and then I want to progress. I want to, like, do more things, and they're kind of slow about it.
Yeah, okay. So you want to do more sexually.
Yeah.
All right, well, look, here's the thing. Here's the problem. You like attractive people.
Okay.
Yes?
You understand? Yeah. Attractive people don't put out. They're not as flexible sexually as unattractive people. Unattractive people have to be flexible sexually. That's part of the deal. It really is. You tell a super hot chick, put the donkey outfit on and let me give it to you in the keister.
But isn't there also
and she
some,
says, screw you. I got some rich producers.
Right, it's
sort
of a market issue, too. It's like it's not anything interesting to them because they have so much available. It's like, whatever.
It's like, right? here's the thing. When you're attractive, you do what you want to do sexually. You don't do a whole ton of, I don't want to do this sexually.
Or what other people want you to do.
Or, yeah. Because it's a buyer's market.
Right, exactly.
And you know your hot commodity. Seller's market? I don't know what the hell it is.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, it's a buyer's market. What does that mean?
Sellers.
Sellers?
She's selling, the hot chick's selling.
Buyer sounds better.
Right.
Whatever the market is, she finds some other dude, or some other chick, or some
Joanne's
whatever.
Interesting, though. A couple quick questions for her. Joanne?
Yes?
Do you have relationships? I mean, real relationships? Is it just about sex?
I've had a relationship a few times, and it doesn't really work out well.
How come?
We get bored.
All right. Yeah, see, there's something going
Joanne,
on.
Joanne, you're things. Okay, let me just say something, then we get rid of Joanne.
Of addiction. Here's
the
smattering of addiction there.
Joanne, I know we say this to everybody, but you're more screwed up than you're willing to admit.
Yeah.
There's something going on with you. And I don't know what it is. Maybe it's never having a father. I don't know what it is. But there's part of you that's a little bit angry, and there's part of you that's a little more screwed up. And your thing is like, hey, I'm just sort of open sexually, and I like to have a good time, and I'm young, and everyone else can't hang with me. So what's everyone else's problem? It's not everyone else's problem. There's something going on with you, and that's what you need to look into. What you don't need to do is just go find someone who's drunk enough to let you do what you want to do to them.
Right.
That's a short-term solution, but not long-term.
It's you kind of feel not right and empty, and there's something going on emotionally. And your solution is to use sex as a drug to fill that emptiness, and it never quite gets filled.
And look, people, it's not so, like we talk about all the time. They're freaked out by the energy, not the act.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, look, if I found someone that was exquisitely sane, I would let them put a fire hydrant up my ass. That sounds like a great idea, but it's always the person. It's like your spidey sense starts tingling. It's like, what's going on with this person?
Yeah,
Drew,
right.
Remember when you would be dating a woman when you would start realizing they were insane?
Yeah.
And then you weren't attracted to them anymore, which is the opposite of most people. But what I mean is, as a guy, you'd be like, everything was great, first date, whatever, second date, everything fine, and then something would happen, and it's just a little flash. It's a weird little flashback. It's like in a movie when the CIA brainwashes a guy, but he gets that flash thing of his old life. Starts seeing his wife and kids in black. It's always in black and white, but I don't know why. Mine can't flash back in color. I don't understand. Okay, but here's the thing. Boom, just it makes a flash, too.
Yeah.
Like, whoosh, whoosh, and then burns away again. But you just get the little glimpse of this broad's crazy. You know what I mean? That's what Joanne has given it. She's giving off that.
Yeah.
This broad's crazy. That's what people are responding to.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Yes.
Drew, am I right? Or are you just ready to move on?
No, I'm just thinking that people don't really get those messages clearly unless they're kind of sane or mature. And so she's kind of picking sane people.
You don't have to. There's a part of all humans, I think, that are that's instinctual, and that there's a sort of survival mechanism.
Yeah, but if they're screwed up, they're attracted to all that craziness.
If they're screwed up, but
so
she says
she's not picking screwed up people, really. That's
I think,
my point.
Yeah. All right, wait a minute, Joanne.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not picking screwed up people, right?
I did once, and it turned out really badly. And I try to go for the sane people.
Yeah. Right. You want sane, attractive people, yeah, and you want them to do deviant, diabolical things, and they don't want to do it.
Yeah, like I...
All right. That's the whole thing, everybody. When you do crazy things, you got to find a crazy person. Jill?
Yes.
Unless you find a sleeper like Drew. Freaky. Freaky in the sack. Oh, yeah. He peels those glasses off. Look out.
Hello?
Jill, 27, what's up?
Yeah, I just have some questions. I've been taking a lot of prescription drugs for a while, and I have zero sex drive for about 6-7 months now.
Well, that's what depression medicines and various pharmaceuticals can do that. So what's up? What's your question?
I've been diagnosed with rapid cycling bipolar type 2.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
What's the rapid cycling?
That you go up and down very, very quickly.
Right.
Moods fluctuate rapidly.
All right.
And I was on lithium for about a year and a half, and that's when I noticed the change in my sex drive a year into it. And do you think that's a side effect from the lithium, or is there something else going on?
Were you only on lithium at the time?
Yes, and I thought that might have been a result from the lithium, and I went to a new doctor, and they found out that I was actually rapid cycling instead of just bipolar type 2, and they said Lamictal would be a better choice for me, and so now I'm on Lamictal and Seroquel, and for about 2 months now, and no lithium at all, but I haven't had a change quite yet in the sex drive, and I'm engaged, and this puts kind of a lot of pressure on the relationship.
Have you been more depressed lately?
Actually, I was probably very depressed when I was on the lithium for a while. I was in a really bad job. And
are you a trauma survivor?
No. Well, my whole life has been really hard, so.
That would be trauma, yes.
Well, but she's thinking overt stuff.
Yeah, so the bottom line is you've been depressed. That can affect your sex drive. Yes, being a trauma survivor, people can go through periods where they are very sexual and they're very not sexual, sort of bipolar in terms of not just your mood, but your sexual drive can have a bipolar quality to it. And then finally, yes, lithium can do some things to your sex drive. And in my experience, occasionally the drop in sex drive that I think sometimes associated with lithium, again, it's hard to tell in bipolar patients, can go on for a while after you get off the lithium.
All right. Let's take a little break, Drew. When we come back, it was Char over here, 31 dating the 44-year-old boss, not meeting his needs. Shock therapy.
Do that?
John, it's shock therapy. Erica over here said Doc says she was at risk for stroke.
Smoking cigarettes.
Because boyfriend's on the
migraines.
Pill?
She's on the pill.
Oh, she's on the pill. All right. And then we got cheated on girlfriend while drinking with buddies, both girls. Oh, everyone knows. Yeah, let's talk to Joe.
Okay.
It's always fun to talk to a guy who got busted. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. IndyCar drivers have left the hizzy, and they're going to be at the Fontana Speedway this Sunday. 200 miles an hour plus. Chris, you going, buddy? Huh? No?
No.
Got to study?
Yeah. Got a big test.
Big test.
What's the topic now?
What are you working on?
Math. I don't know.
Just math?
Real numbers? Yeah.
Yeah, something
like all right. Yeah, you'd be Harvard in no time. Yeah. Look, buddy. Go on. Just focus on the radio. You don't need all that schooling.
Fall back on, maybe.
Fall back on 2 units of high school math that you took in college? It's like, why don't you just put a, I'll tell you what you should do. Take a hoe and place it forward and place it up on its back so you can land on that. that would be a better thing to fall back on than a junior college education. You really would be better off. Just take a gardener's hoe, flip it up so the pointy side is up, put it so it lands somewhere around, I don't know, T5, and fall back on that. Better than falling back on a junior college education. Yes, Drew? Garden hoe?
Can always graduate to a university,
yes,
right?
That's
the plan.
Yeah.
How old are you, bud? Oh, I just wanted
21.
You're a math guy. What are you, like 28? 28?
27, actually.
27, all right. Yeah. 27, you got another year or so of JC before...
Let's hope, yeah.
All right. Graduated high school when you were, what, 24 or?
23.
18, right? 18,
yes, sure.
He's going to be 85 when he enters his freshman dorm.
He'll do it anyway.
He's going to rush a frat in his 90s. All right, it's going to be awesome. Joe?
Joe.
Joe, 26.
Yes.
Cheated on girlfriend.
Yes.
While drinking with your buddies.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a little bit more in-depth than that. Me and my buddies are in a band, and we go out, play shows, we get drunk, stuff like that. And girls love guys that are in bands, you know what I mean? I mean, like, doesn't matter how bad you suck, if you're in a band.
What is that? What is that about women?
I don't know. But it's funny, during the commercial, I was like, oh, this would be a good call. And Drew's like, yeah, but those guys are always such jackasses. And that's what we're getting, right?
Yeah.
Joe, what's the name of the band?
Infusion.
Yeah.
Infusion.
Yeah.
What kind of music you guys play?
Kind of like Cold or Breaking Benjamin, stuff like that.
Mm. So you guys like Breaking Benjamin?
Yeah.
Okay. I got their best of.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's BBB. It's the best of Breaking Benjamin. These guys are awesome. I liked them back in the 80s when they had the original lineup, but they're good. I've caught them a few times at Red Rock.
They're like Menudo. They just keep filing new guys through.
Yeah.
So, Joe, what's the question?
Hold on. Engineer Chris, you know Breaking Benjamin?
Yes.
You do?
Really?
Yeah. You do? Engineer, how many engineers do we have now?
Two.
Okay. Who's the other one? Anderson. Anderson, you know Breaking Benjamin?
No.
All right. Well, wow. It's the only answer, by the way, Chris has ever known.
How is that?
Studio tonight.
Well, because we play them.
Oh, you play them?
Yeah.
You listen to K-Rock, I don't.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, buddy.
I listen to K-Rock all the time. I was just kidding around.
Come on, buddy. Joe.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys sound like Breaking Benjamin. Have Breaking Benjamin been on the show?
No.
All right. Well, that can't be that big. All right. So anyway, so you're in a band. Band's doing okay. Chicks dig a guy in a band. And you got girlfriends. And you cheated. How'd they find out?
Well, I mean, it was kind of like hearsay, and she found out, and it wasn't a good thing. And now I don't know what to do because I...
Let's do a little reenactment, Drew.
Yeah. So, you got girls. So, what happened?
Well, we're in a band.
And you see, you cheated. Girlfriend found out.
Yeah.
And?
Well, yeah, and we're in a band.
And it was sort of like hearsay.
Yeah, no, I asked how she found out, goofball. Drew, please. Come on, do the reenactments.
I didn't hear you. I didn't ask that.
How did your girlfriend find out?
I didn't even think. Reenactment. Okay. So you had a girlfriend, you cheated, what happened?
I cheated.
So what happened?
Ask me how she found out.
That was my next question, because you asked it three times.
But the love of Christ, you can't do a reenactment. I asked how I goddamn found out.
How'd you find out?
Ah, forget it.
Okay.
Jesus Christ, what am I... I'm bookended by tards here. I can't escape. It's like a tardalanche. All right, Joe.
Yeah.
So what's the question, Joe?
Yeah, don't ask Drew to repeat it, by the way. Even when I fed you the line.
I know. You asked twice, and then you asked... How'd you find out?
Oh, if you heard it, then why didn't you... All right.
Oh, the first time I didn't hear it, but then after you fed me the line, I did.
Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to know what I should do. I mean...
Well, look, you're in a band, right?
Right.
It's easy to get chicks. You're 26. You're not ready to
stop. Have a girlfriend.
Why put that kind of pressure on you? As a matter of fact, this whole finding out you cheated sort of thing is a nice beginning to an end for the two of you.
For their girlfriend. Yeah.
But I love her, though, you know? I mean,
that's
obvious.
I
didn't mean to do what I did. I was just drunk, and it happened.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's the way to treat somebody you love.
Really, do you love her? You just said you're in a band. It's easy to get chicks. And how long have you been with this chick?
5 years.
5 years. And how old is she?
25.
And you sure? I mean, you know what? The band takes off and you guys start going on the road and everything. You're in here talking to us. We're not remembering this conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I just think if you're in a band... and you're traveling, and your behavior speaks volumes about where you're really at. I mean, if you truly loved this woman and there was a commitment in your life, you wouldn't be as apt to... I know.
A guy could get loaded and succumb to, the witchy ways of a woman.
If it was just one of these ridiculous things that you have tremendous regret for, and it's maybe even associated with alcohol issues, then ask forgiveness and recommit yourself to the relationship. But I don't think that's going to happen.
Right. All right. I'll give it a try. Mm. And you're going to do it again, though.
Mm? I think so.
Yeah. All right. Char?
Yeah.
You're 31?
Yes.
Char short for something, like Charlene or something?
Yeah. Charlena.
Charlena. All right. What's going on?
Well, I'm kind of at a dilemma in my relationship. He's very critical of me and my friends, and I've been friends with some guys growing up throughout my whole life. We've been friends for like 20 years, and he has really big problems with me having friends that are guys. I have friends that are girls also too, but
who's he? Your boyfriend?
Yes.
All right. He's got problems with you having friends that are guys.
Well, yeah. And then actually just recently he started telling me that one of my girlfriends was telling him that I liked this guy and he liked me and we couldn't wait to see each other again. And, you know, she says she did not say that. He says she did. It's kind
of let me stop you here. You're 31. He's 44.
Right.
You got a combined age of 75.
Aren't we done with the
love of Christ? Yeah. What do you think? Is this Teen Beat Hotline?
And your
What's going on with you two idiots?
Your girlfriend's into the guy and trying to sabotage your relationship. It really sounds like 18-year-old behavior.
She hates him.
She hates him.
Nobody wants me to be with him.
Why not?
Because he's so controlling.
Mm-hmm.
At least they think that he is. I kind of do, too. I mean, he has the problem with my children's dad coming over to pick him up and sitting and visiting us for 10 minutes.
Your children's dad.
He has a problem with my friends that are guys. He doesn't want me to see them at all unless he's there.
Your children's dad, not your ex-husband.
So what was that?
The children's dad is not your ex-husband?
Yes, he is.
He is your ex-husband?
Yeah.
How long were you married for?
I was with him 8 years.
Why'd that break up?
A brain injury that he received.
Really?
Yeah. And he changed.
From your frying pan, or what happened?
He fell 30 feet from scaffolding and landed on his head.
Ugh. Yeesh. On Is he okay?
Well, we stayed together 3 years after that, but it just caused such a trauma like that. It really turned your world upside down, you know?
Yeah,
whoa. And it just totally changed.
Is he on disability now?
He does have an impairment, but he's still actually able to work, just not the line of work that he was doing.
Which was what?
Painting.
Painting. Can't do that.
And we are friends.
There are people who have been dead for 30 years who can paint. If you can't paint...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you can't sit up. People paint, they paint with their mouth. They put a brush in their mouth, they can paint.
Yeah, their feet.
They paint with their feet. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that movie.
Char, this whole thing, I don't know, what do you want from us? What are you asking of us? It sounds like very adolescent behavior. That's all we're hearing.
The guy sounds like an a-hole. Yeah. It sounds like your dad was probably an a-hole. You're stupid for sticking with him, but what are we going to do?
You sort of have desperate circumstances where you have this horrible trauma you're trying to contend with.
Is it realistic? That's what I'm wondering. I mean, is it realistic for me to see my friends on his schedule?
Oh, but look here. Let me.
Or am I being disrespectful and not treating it like
he's
a relationship? He thinks I'm not treating it like a relationship.
Is there some ethnic problem here or something? Does he have a certain cultural attitude about things?
Not
that I know of. I mean, he's
Middle Eastern guy.
Kind of dropped out of religion, but he basically does have religious belief.
He's not one of these wacky, oppressive nationality types, though, right?
He's been married 3 other times.
Oh, come on.
3 other times?
You really want to bet on those odds?
What's he do?
Well, yeah, that's kind of...
Same construction?
Of course he says it's... You know, his last wife, which he actually just was breaking up with when we got together.
Of course, nothing's his responsibility. What does he do for a living?
He manages a food... Whatever you'd call it, a food store.
Do you work for him?
A market?
You work for him?
I cater for them, yeah.
Mm. And he's your boss and he's having a relationship with you? You don't have a problem with that?
Well, no. He was married when we met, and then we...
Look, this is a bad situation.
That guy's
bad,
an a-hole.
Bad.
Yeah, well, he's not with her no more.
Yes, but he's still your... Then he needs to fire you, too, and make you his girlfriend and not somebody he manages. It's not okay for him to have a dual relationship with you.
Like
that is not okay. There's a power imbalance there. It's basically sexual harassment you're dealing with.
Power imbalance. The company consists of one van and a pimento loaf.
But still, he can't do that. That's a form of sexual harassment. It's inappropriate.
All right, listen, Shar, I don't like this guy.
No.
Well, am I being rude?
Rude. I don't know. Look, what happened?
What
happened? Shut up. Listen to me. What happened to your horrible self-esteem? What happened to you?
I've had a bad life.
Okay.
I've been abused by several.
I can hear your voice.
I put one in prison.
Good.
That's right. When I finally stood up for myself.
Well, you stood up for yourself, but you're still attracted to abusive a-holes. You've got to break that pattern. Guys that are attractive that way, stay away from.
Shar, on behalf of your two children.
Two?
Three.
Yeah. Okay.
Three girls.
Okay. All right. We got some strippers on the way, everybody. Sit down. I'm going to the bar right now. I'm going to get a good seat. Hope I guess the right poll. I've been burned before, Drew. They go the other side. Hey, la 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 la. They're five. They'll be coming here in about 14 years. Plant your asses and go to the ATM. By the way, lap dance could be $482. It's going to be the year 2015. Blah, 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 blah.
What does it cost for a lap dance?
No, but don't play stupid.
I have no idea.
Listen, I'll explain. Here, a lap dance is $20, as I've said before, because that's what comes out of an ATM.
$10 in Pittsburgh.
$10 in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh must have ATMs that spit out tens.
Is it like a 3 minutes or 1 minute or 5 minutes? Or?
It's the length of a song. But I swear to Christ, they compress those songs.
Well, it makes sense if they're trying to make money. They should compress them, right?
They tighten them up.
But your friend's still
Stairway finished. To Heaven was a minute 33 seconds.
Right.
Last time I got a lap
dance. Inagata DeVita, 45 seconds.
And
your friend's still finished, though, in that.
Here's what Inagata DeVita sounds like in a strip club. Bump, bump, banana. Hey, bump, bump, thank you. That's it for that. Now, Stairway to Heaven. There's a lady. Okay, down with that one there. Now, Freebird. Okay, we're done with that one. Yeah, that's how it works.
And the guys are just 20,
you just
got to
keep peeling
20,
it. 20. Yeah, once in a while you get a short song, or you get that thing where you get to start getting the lap dance like halfway into the song, then it's unclear. Like, do we get halfway into the next song? Like Cherry Pie's coming. Do I get halfway into Cherry? Do I get to the bridge of Cherry Pie?
Wait till the next song starts. Hold the money back,
Drew. It's a science.
It's a tough,
and it's
yes.
a business. Do not kid yourself.
Yeah, I'm sure of that.
All right, so listen, Shar, I can hear in her very oppressed voice that she was abused and abused consistently, and now she's gotten a little healthier and found a guy who's only mildly abusive.
Here's the other. These guys that you perceive as powerful and because they're controlling and they seem to be very interested and blustery, they're just abusive a-holes. They're not powerful. They're not going to protect you. They're going to exploit you and abuse you.
Yes. All right. Let's exploit and abuse the urinal, shall we?
Yeah, Ruth? Please.
Take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. All right. Back to the phones we go. Yes, Drew?
Here we go.
Kyle?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
You're 24. What's up?
All right, man. I actually had two questions. I want you to answer the first question, Adam. Mm-hmm. And I will ask the question I had for you guys. I want to know, I heard you talk a lot about you had crummy jobs coming up, and I want to know what was the first steps you took, and where was the first jobs that you had when you started to get over into entertainment and finally in the radio?
Yes, I had, it says here, you're a construction laborer.
Yeah.
You're just picking up garbage.
I'm basically glorified garbage man for GM. Take care of all the waste.
Oh, all right. Well, is it a union gig?
Yes, it is, but it was a new company when I got with them, brand new union, terrible job, and I got with them when I was 19, been there 5 years, going on six, and they started out, you know, it was an hourly job, of course, and I told them, you know, I want to get with a company that I can grow with, when I got a degree in environmental, And
sounds like he's way ahead of you, Adam.
You're way ahead of where I was. I was just working under the table, you know, digging footings underneath like crampy condemned apartments in East L.A. doing earthquake rehab. Ooh, a lot of earthquakes.
Yeah, it's weird. We had a couple today.
Get into that in a second. So, look, how do you make, how does one make the transition from a crappy job into a good job? All right, I'm putting them on hold for a second. Here's what I want to say.
Yeah.
Drew, we've had this discussion many times. If you have a crappy day gig and you come home and you drink six-pack and you watch Bachelor and you pass out on the sofa,
that's it.
You will maintain that crap. That is maintaining.
Yes.
That is, it is, here's what it is. That is the exercise equivalent to running 2 miles on a treadmill twice a week. You're not going to get fat, but you're not going to look like Mr. Olympia.
Right.
You're calling and wanting to know. People want to know, well, how do you look great? You know, you take your shirt off at the beach and you have the six pack and everything. Oh, that's work.
Yeah.
That's not maintaining.
Off. Yeah.
And, you know, and look, most of the planet maintains. That's what they do. Where they're in a constant holding pattern. And then sometimes, quiet, Drew looked like he was going to say
something
for a second.
I was thinking about something.
Sometimes, don't share it with anyone.
No, don't worry.
Not even yourself.
It's gone. Gone.
I don't believe you. I think you're thinking about it now.
I'm trying to get it back.
Get it out. Okay.
That at 20... Oh, forget
it. Sometimes people put themselves in a position where they can't get to the gym at night, to use my analogy,
right,
to continue with it, which is to have a couple of kids.
Yes.
Sometimes there's just hardship stuff where their mom's sick and they have to take care of her,
life,
whatever.
Life intervenes, or there's another piece that, or you don't prioritize properly. You're too busy spinning your wheels and things that you can't really make the time
but
for things that might build for the future.
That's kind of what I'm saying, which is a lot of people get a job, they come home, and then they do whatever. They play Dungeons and Dragons, they watch TV, they smoke a bong load, they go
especially
to bed.
At 24, you've got time. You got time to.
So, number one, don't get yourself into a situation where you're coming home and you have to read bedtime stories to nine kids and take care of the wife and all that kind of stuff. Free yourself up. Mm. That's number one. And don't get yourself locked into that. Then, number two, when you come home, work's done and you got to start working on the new gig. And that could be nighttime classes, that could mean acting classes, that could be open mic down at the improv if you want to do comedy, that could be just writing if you want to be a writer. Whatever it is, now it's time to go to work for a second time.
They can't see, though, at that age, they can't see where that's going. They have to really like doing it, so they just develop it, and all of a sudden, opportunities emerge.
The problem with that is it may not be going anywhere.
Right.
And there's no guarantees, and it's really hard to do. Have someone say, do 100 push-ups, and you go, oh, why, for my chest? There's no guarantee you'll get any extra muscle out of it. It might be as if you never did them. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Just do them.
Now you're still going to do them? Show me the guy who does it with that. I'll show you the guy who ends up getting the job he wants.
Right.
Most people want the reward. They want the reward at the end of every challenge.
And they'll burn out after a few months.
Right.
You have to sustain that kind of thing for years.
Right. I, however, did none of those things. My father is the president of radio. And we've figured out with junior producer.
Chris.
Lauren Owen, Chris. Yeah, it's who you know. Yeah. So me, I knew Jimmy Kimmel, except for I never knew Jimmy Kimmel. People don't realize, by the way, there was a time before I knew Dr. Drew. There was a time before I knew Jimmy Kimmel. And it was not the eighth grade. You understand? It was the eighth grade, but it carried over until I was 30.
Sheesh.
Yeah, and then some. Yes, Drew?
Yes.
All right.
Times.
All right. So the point is everybody out there, if you don't like your day gig, you got to work on your night gig at night. And then, and not only this, it's not even free. Sometimes it costs money. You have to take classes. You have to enroll. You have tuition.
Yeah. I was thinking about my kids who are 11 and the academics are hitting the ground running in these days. And they're going to be at it for 12 years to get to somewhere.
Yeah.
They're killing themselves for 12 years.
Well, I was going to say, not 12 years because, sophomore year, one of them jumps off the bell tower.
Okay. There you go.
Let's face it.
If they
Drew's called. So. Wants to know why they're only carrying a 4.2.
Yes.
You're never going to get a medical school.
They're not going to job it. They're going to start firing off it.
Oh, Drew's. The Paulina, the girl, will be firing off the bell tower.
Oh, yeah.
And the boys may jump, but the girls will take people
with
them.
She'll take her, yeah. Take her ice skate.
Take her ice skate. Start rappelling down. Use it like a grappling hook.
But the point is, it's years and years and years and years of work to get in a position where maybe they get a decent job. And the same thing happens if you start at 21. You gotta apply yourself for a long time for things to keep developing.
Yeah. All right. And do it because that's what you want to do, though, by the way.
Because you're right.
You better, because there's probably not going to be, you know, you're going to be panning up in the river with your donkey for a number of years before you get that nugget of gold.
Wasabi.
Or you go the route to Engineer Chris goes. It's 40 years of junior college, one unit at a time. One painful unit at a time.
Right, right, right.
Earliest class, noon. Latest class,
it's very appealing.
Noon.
Very appealing.
There's one class. Class average starting time and ending time, noon. Oh, average ending 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock.
Well, the first and last class starts at noon.
First and last noon. All right, buddy.
Got to start somewhere.
What's
yeah.
junior college?
Yeah, like what, that attitude.
What's college? What's college again?
Huh?
PCC.
Oh, ELAC.
ELAC.
Yeah.
Doesn't even sound like it. Sounds like the name of an alien from an alien sitcom from the '70s. I'm ELAC. Oh, hi, Elac. Do you smoke? Only when I drink cheap oil. And then big laugh track, Drew.
Now we give him a talk show.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a little shout-out to Elac and all the homies. They got to start building graveyards. They need to put graveyards. That's what I'm going to do. When I'm in charge, Drew, I put graveyards at the JC.
Ooh.
And every
is that
day.
Is a reminder?
Yes. Every day when you walk up that front passage, graves of all the people that never made it out of there. Subtle, not so subtle reminder. Take a quick break. Be right back. Yeah. Well, that's the show, y'all. Tomorrow night, Boston. The band Boston. I played more air guitar to Boston than any other band. Do you remember
really?
That? Oh, yes.
Nice.
Easily. Easily.
Oh, this will be good tomorrow.
Huh?
Easily. I mean, Ace of Base, a distant second, and then Savage Garden, I think, would be third or fourth. The point is, Boston, number one, and then the big drop-off between the Ace of B and Savage G. Yeah, I abbreviate. I like both bands so much. Savage Garden, by the way. What is that gay bar? What's going on with that title, fellas? Ho, ho, ho.
You're not a long gay, run, though, huh?
Okay. We'll take a 22-hour break. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.